Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Matthew. I think everyone has priorities, stated or unstated, and whether you identify it in that way or not, you have priorities in the way you spend your time. You have priorities in the things you do. You have priorities in the way you spend your money. You have priorities, and those are the things that you focus on. Now, I'm going to talk to you just a little while tonight about priorities. I don't want it to come as a surprise to you that I have 5 points tonight, and it has nothing to do, I don't know why, but it seems like any time I preach a sermon that has 5 points, Randy Parker just comes to mind. And I have to somehow make a comment about that, but I'm going to try to refrain from that as I can work myself away from that in the days ahead. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Should be a familiar verse to you. Whether you have memorized it strictly from Scripture or whether you have sung it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And a lot of you have learned the verse by singing the little chorus and the music that has been put to the verse verbatim from the verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Now there's a command that is there, and that's number one, is the command. You seek first. And he said, this is what you're to do. It's an interesting word whenever it's talking about seek. It means to pursue, to look after, to inquire into, to search out, to search out. Seek ye first, to strive after, to go after with effort. And whenever it says seek ye first, it means before everything else and above everything else. In other words, the first priority, this is number one in your life. That's for the believer, for the one who knows Jesus Christ. This is number one priority. Rain or shine, storming or fair weather, good times and bad times, when everything is pleasant and when things are unpleasant, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. This is to be your number one. Whenever you prioritize things in your life, the kingdom of God, his righteousness. That's to be at the top of the list. Now, if you have that at the top of the list, everything else will fall into pretty good order. And you're going to see that as we go through the verse. But that's got to be at the top of the list. If you don't have it at the top of the list, it's sort of like buttoning your white shirt whenever you get up to go to church on Sunday morning, or buttoning your sweater in the wintertime. If you wear a sweater, a cardigan that buttons up, you know this as well as I. If you get the first button wrong, there's no correcting it from there on up. I mean, you can't say, well, I'll just skip a button and it's going to be worse than you ever saw. You've got to just go back and start all over. Because if you don't have number one right, then everything else is all messed up on down the line. Number one, numero uno. Hal, good to see you. Glad you're able to be here tonight. I just now saw you sitting there. God bless your heart. Man, I'm so glad to see you. Number one, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Priority, the top of the list. Seek ye first. I think it should be first in our day. I think it should be first in our mind. It should be first in everything. We oftentimes say this about Christmas, whenever we're talking about Christmas and Christmas giving and everything like this, that Jesus ought to be at the top of the list. He ought to be number one on the list. But he ought not just be number one on the list at Christmas time. He ought to be number one on the list all the time. All the time. And you're going to find, I think, that if you seek his kingdom, you'll be seeking him. You'll find him. He'll be there. And it's what he has. And there's something else about this number one priority. If you seek him properly, you will avoid the frustrations of your life. Did you ever see a little child buttoning up her sweater? And they got the first button wrong? And they'll try to correct it. And they'll get frustrated because it will not correct. And finally you say, honey, you're going to have to unbutton that and start all over. Because you've got to get the first one right. And if you get the first priority right, it'll take the frustration out of your life. I just don't know what to do. I've just got so many things to do. No, get number one right. And everything else will fall in line. Get the priorities correct. If you get number one priority, everything else is going to come into line. Now, not only the command, but the core, the very center of the command, and that's the next phrase, these two things, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, I'm supposed to be concerned about that area of God's ruling. I'm to be concerned with what God's concerned about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, the righteousness that we are to live out as we seek to please him and honor him in the kingdom, in the area where he rules. Now, I know he rules all over all the earth. But you and I both know there is a kingdom of God over which he reigns supreme. And I know there's nothing out of his control. I understand that. But I understand also there is a vying competitor with him, which is the prince of power of the air, the evil one. And we are to focus on that God is concerned with and has his priorities with. Not the world, the flesh, and the devil. Not those things that are opposite, but against him. But we become so concerned with the things of this life that Jesus gets way down, and the kingdom of God gets way down on the priority list. And the things of this life become very high on the priority list. And it seems like the less we have of the things of this life, the more we put them up on the list. But watch this. It seems like also the more people have of the things on this life, the higher that goes on the priority list. Who was it? Howard Hughes? J.D. Rockefeller? Somebody asked him, how much money would it take to satisfy you? He said, just a little more. Always just a little more. Now, God's kingdom and God's righteousness. If you will focus on that as the number one priority, how often do you think about that? How often do you think about it? What can I do? What have I done today? What have I done today that has advanced the kingdom? What have I done that has advanced the kingdom of God? Now, we can evaluate, what we've done in this matter of righteousness and how we've lived and how we've conducted ourselves and so forth like that. But what have I done that has advanced the kingdom of God today? Today. Number three is the conflict of the command. And here is the conflict, and conflict is in verse 32. In verse 32, you have, in verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Oh, I want to have all the good things of life to enjoy, all the food, all the refreshments, and all the clothes, everything like that. I want all that. Why take ye thought for that? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, whenever he's talking about Gentiles here, he's talking about unbelievers. Unbelievers. Now, of course, this is a Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking to a Jewish audience then. And they recognize that they are God's people as opposed to those that are not God's people. And we would relate to it the same way. God's people as opposed to those that are not God's people. After all these things, do the people who are not God's people seek? Now, I know it doesn't have to do with Gentile. I know that we're Gentiles. I understand that. But the application is there for us, even though he's talking to a Jewish audience here. It is for us, and he has preserved it for us so that we can identify that our focus is different than their focus. After all, and here's this phrase. Now, keep this phrase before you. These things. After all these things. These things. That's the Gentiles' priority. That's all they have. You see, they focus entirely on earthly things. We were in this in Sunday school this morning in the auditorium. They focus on these things, the things of this life, temporal things. Whereas we're to focus on eternal things. And it's so hard because the physical things are so present and all around us. It's hard to live with a spiritual mentality whenever we're focused on physical things and it's just consumed with that all the time. But he says, after all of these things, do the Gentiles seek? Now he's talking about food. He's talking about lodging. He's talking about clothing. He's talking about they seek after those things. I mean, they pursue those things. They go after that. I was reading just a brief article today about debt in our country and about people are going, it says there's two things American people love, and that's automobiles and debt. They love those two things, and they generally join together very effectively. And the average, according to this article, the average car payment across the board, across this nation, the average car payment is $474 a month. Huh. Wow. $474 a month is the average car payment. And now they're extending car payments without question now. They'll go 5.5 years on a car loan. And some car loans are going up to 84 months. Huh. Wow. And, of course, they do that to get the payment down to $474. Wow. Now, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? But he says, your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. These things. Now he says, after all these things do the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. These things. Now you're going to see it again. You're going to see that phrase again. Those two words together in verse 33. Because these things will be added. The Gentiles seek. God knows about these things. God knows that if you're going to do his work, there's certain things you need to do his work. And those things he'll take care of. He'll take care of the things you need to do his work. So you don't have to fret about that. That's why he says, take no thought. Take no thought. Well, if I go out and serve God, if I go to Bible college, prepare, go to the mission field, do this kind of thing, oh, what about these things? Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. Now, I'm for praying for these things, but your heavenly Father. If you're seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, your Father knows you have need of those things. We ought to be dependent on Him. And God's commands will never lack God's provisions. Now, we're looking right now at the fourth thing, really, and I bring it to you now, and that is the context of the command. In other words, what surrounds this command of seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All the way back in verses 19, 20, and 21, he says, let's look at it. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, the principle here is your heart will follow your treasure. Where you put your money is where you put your priorities. Your heart follows your treasures. And then he says down in verse 24, this same chapter in verse 24, he says, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll love one, hate the other. Hate one, love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, in this principle, in giving this principle of ye cannot serve two masters, the principle he uses that he gives and the illustration he gives is money. Money. You cannot serve God and money. You can't do that. That's why in the epistles we're told in 1 Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, the master he's talking about here, is money your master? Or is the Lord your master? You cannot serve two masters. Love one, hate the other. Hate one, love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. One of them is going to have the priority. And then, of course, in the verses we were just looking at, down through from 25 down through verse 31, and also repeats it in verse 34. Take no thought. Don't be filled with anxious care. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. Now, does that mean we don't talk to the Father about it? Oh, no. We talk to the Father about it. Certainly we talk to Him. We don't talk to Him to instruct Him. Now, sometimes we do very good at informing God of things that He may have forgotten about. Now, Lord, You know. Yeah, He knows. He does know. Now, Lord, I just want to remind you. Lord, look down here on me. And there's nothing wrong with anything that drives us to the feet of Jesus. But whenever we're seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, our Heavenly Father knows we have need of things. He knows that there are things that have to be taken care of. If you're going to serve God in whatever area He places you, God knows how you need to dress in that place. If you're going to serve in an area of responsibility, God knows what you need to eat to be there in that area of responsibility. You know, I try to. Whenever I'm out, I don't dress like this all the time, but I try to whenever I'm out and about in places where somebody may know the church and know you, and that's every place, and know about the church and know who I am in relationship to the church, I try to dress in such a way and conduct myself in such a way and be in such a way that I'm not an embarrassment to the church and to you as part of the church. I try to conduct myself in that way. And be that way. You know, I try not to, yell at the window, out the window at people that cut me off in traffic, and I try not to, you know, pull out in front of other people, and I try not to do those kinds of things, because somebody may say, "That's that preacher down there at that church, isn't it? I figured that's how he acted. They all act like that." I don't want to do that. Don't want to bring shame to the Lord, and I don't want to bring shame on you. I got a corrective text message one day about somebody saw me texting while I was driving. It was a long time ago, and I've quit since then. I've quit. I've done my best to quit. Becky has enforced the rule, and. Back before that was such a big deal, I had an old phone, I guess you can still do it, and I had an earpiece in. And I learned that I could talk to one person on the phone with the earpiece in my ear and text another person and carry on two conversations and still drive. But I've quit that. Quit that. But I got a text message from someone said, "My daughter and I saw you driving today and you were texting while you're driving. That's not a good example for my daughter." And I said, No, that isn't. Now, what I wanted to say is, "None of your business, leave me alone." But I didn't say that. I took the rebuke appropriately. I took it appropriately. Take no thought, these things. Where in the world did I get on that? God provides what we need to do the work with. He does that. I try not to be an embarrassment to you, okay? Now I've embarrassed myself in front of you. Okay, number five. The consequences of the command. And now we come to this all these things. Did you get that? All these things. These things that the Gentiles seek after. These things that the Father knows we have need of. These things, whenever you seek God, He's the priority, seek first. To many people, God is important. But not to very many people is He the number one priority. He has an important place in their life, but He's not the number one priority. But whenever you do that, He knows what you need to do the job He's given you to do, and He will add those things to you. Now, whenever it talks about adding, it talks about laying alongside that is necessary, laying that alongside. God will give the increase. It's a matter of trust. And after all, the just live by faith. And so it's a matter of trust. So I change my list of priorities and I put the kingdom of God and His righteousness, doing right and advancing the kingdom. Doing right and advancing God's cause. I put that at the top of the list. I get that right on top. Now, whenever I get that right on top, then I can't see how that's going to work, because I don't see how all these other things are going to come along. But what He will do, He will come along and lay alongside that the things that are needed to do the job that He's given you to do. It's wise to have the best motives. Now, we don't say, "Well, I'm going to do this so God will give me this and give me this and give me this." That's not a good motive. But if you will seek first, if you have that motive, it doesn't seem that really the glory of God is your first priority. It's using God to get the things. That's your priority. Using God to get the things. But if you have that as a priority, all these things shall be added to you. A young man did a rather heroic deed for his king. The king was made aware of it, and he called the young man in. And he said to the young man, he said, "Young man," he said, "I want you to know, I want to honor you, and I want you to know that I appreciate you. And I will grant you any wish. If you want me to make you a general in my army, I'll make you a general. If you want a monetary reward, I will give you money. What would you like? What is your request? I will grant you your request." And the young man thought about it. He said, "I would like your daughter's hand in marriage." And you see, whenever he married her, everything else about the kingdom came with her. He made a wise request. He made a wise request. He put that priority on that because he knew that if he got her, everything else was going to come along with the package. Now, if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else is going to come along with the package. Now, that's not just for young people. That's for all of us. However old we are, however young we are. Sometimes we say this to young people, you know, if you'll give your life to the Lord will bless you. But I tell you one thing right now, I was able to say it to old people too. If you give your life to the Lord will bless you. It just works that way. That's who God is. He does not say, "Young people, seek first the kingdom of God." No, it says, "God's people, seek God's kingdom first and be righteous, right in all of your doings. And the things will take care of themselves. God will lay them alongside and take care of it." Now, who'll set out to seek first the kingdom of God? Just say, "I'll do that. I'm going to put God on the line." God says in the book of Malachi, prove me, put me to the test. Put me to the test. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Bring your tithes and offerings. He does it again about money. It's so often in the Word of God about money. He said, "Bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse and see if I will not pour out up on you blessings more than you can even receive." God will do it for you. He'll take care of it. Heard about a fellow one time. He said, he sued his church. He said he wanted all the money he'd given to the church. He wanted it back. Because the preacher said, if he'd give money to the church, that God would give him more money than he could handle. And he said it hadn't happened. He wanted his money back. Well, I don't believe he was seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I don't believe that was the motive of it. But I challenge you, seek first the kingdom of God. And I hope somebody tonight would say, in your heart before the Lord, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to put God number one on the list. I'm going to make him my number one priority in my time, in my habits, in the things that I do, in my activities, in my finances. I'm going to make God first. I'm going to make God first. In all the areas of my life, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'm going to see. I'm going to see if God's word is true. I'm going to see what he does. See what he does. Let's stand together.